Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN Podcast, episode 265. On today's show, I have Executive Chairman of African Potash. Now, make no bones about it, this is the start, this stock is the start of my £1 million penny stock punt experiment. And Chris, he's a high achiever, this guy. Let me remind you who this guy is, okay? He was called, he's a barrister, called to the bar in 1990 and subsequently founded Trafalgar Chambers, establishing himself as the youngest head of Chambers in the last century. In addition to this, his legal work there, Mr. Cleverly, has also executive officer of the Made in Africa Foundation. So this guy's a high achiever, and I expect big things from this company. And the news out today is quite exciting. Anyway, he's on the podcast. I also have Nicola Duke, the Duchess of Technical Analysis, looking at African Potash on a chart. Plus, she's looking at UtilityWise and Telecom Plus. But first, I'm not going to do too much of an intro because, like I said, I'm talking to Chris and I'm talking to Nicola. But what I'm going to say is this. I've had another email from Dave Whitby, CEO there at SEB Resources, or CEB Resources. And he's, I'm going to read out tomorrow, okay, because there's not too much room in the show today. But I'll read out tomorrow, and he's extended an invite to shareholders for a drink. I don't know if you're up for this, so I'll read that tomorrow. So listen out for that tomorrow on the podcast. And joining me on the podcast right now is Executive Chairman Chris Cleverly of African Potash. Chris, thanks for joining me.
Hello, Justin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You're a busy fella, aren't you?
Yes. I've been back and forth into Africa quite a lot over the last 3 months, as you probably noticed from the RNS.
Yeah, and I was hoping, for a while, because I'm on Twitter, and it was a hive of activity. Every time you mention African Potash, there's a lot of private investors very interested in the company. And a company said, what's happened to Chris? He's gone quiet all of a sudden. What's going on there? What's the news? But you've come out with a very exciting bit of news. So first of all, before we mention that news, can you give people who are listening to the podcast a quick background as to the company?
So African Potash was started off as a company that was to exploit, in particular, a site in Congo Brazzaville for potash called Lakdinga. It's an excellent site. A lot of you already invested in it, know the reasons why you are there. It has amazing potential. It's in Congo Brazzaville, which is probably blessed as being the only suitable sized country in the world that has all the constituents necessary for fertilizer, which are potash, phosphate, phosphorus, and nitrogen or urea. It has a world-class gas supply there as well. So in terms of its siting, it couldn't be in a better place. And as the world starts looking at ways in which it's going to feed itself in the future, as the population grows and urbanizes, that's going to be more and more important. Importantly, for my perspective on it and the thrust, I think, of our development of the company is that it's based in Africa. And Africa has 60% of the world's unfertilized land, a very fast-growing population, fast-urbanizing population, and the potential to be a great user of fertilizer, but also a great need there for food security. Because it has so much of the world's unfertilized land, Africa also has the potential to be a future feeder, as it were, of the world. So, you know, a bit reversing the story there that you usually hear in the news, a nice emerging story. Africa could well be the breadbasket of the world sometime in the future. And so the people that actually were there at the beginning providing the buckets and spades, as it were, in terms of fertilizer for farmers, is going to be very key, which leads to our development of the company. Our development of the company is going to be primarily in looking at it as a minerals, a production company, a manufacturing company, a trading company. So really going from the ground to the consumer in creating a structure that allows us to move the margins when we want to, and to take advantage of the growth in this sector and in the geographical sector to the maximum. So that's kind of what we're aiming for, and that's why the Comesa deal fits in so perfectly.
Yes. Yeah, so just to explain now today, and because when I saw the RNS the release here, I had to read it twice because this deal you've done is basically separate, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't really involve your assets there, Lactinga, does it?
No. At this stage of the development of the company, what we're doing is putting the pieces together and trying to ensure that there's revenue in this business as early as possible. Obviously, the market globally has turned against resource businesses in terms of funding them. But in any event, what was important for us, particularly for me, is to create in a company a way in which it can feed itself, it can look after itself financially, and it can provide a situation of security for its shareholders. And I think this is the best way to do it, is to create revenue. So by putting in a trading, as it were, platform, using the platform loosely, we've now allowed ourselves the ability to continue to generate revenue without diluting the shareholders.
Yes, so and this was the announcement, landmark trading agreement with Comesa. So explain, Comesa is a common market for Eastern and South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of describing it. When you look at this area, it's 470 million people. Mm-hmm. They import something like $170 billion worth of goods a year, of which $10 billion are fertilizer, or more than $10 billion of fertilizer. So it's a huge opportunity. We're going to be trading about 500,000 tons a year under this marketing agreement with Comesa. It's a landmark one. So if you could look at it this way, if you can imagine a very small company, sole company in Wales, mm-hmm. Suddenly doing a deal with the EEC to provide it with trading for all of its coal, that's kind of the deal that we just put together. So it really is a landmark opportunity for African potash and for its investors, and it's one which we're well placed with our board to exploit.
Yes, it does sound an excellent revenue driver, because I've looked at the figures here, and this is you know, fag packet maths. Even though I haven't got a fag packet, I sort of worked it out. I tried to work it out. So you're saying you earn net revenues of between 5% and 15% per metric ton. Is that right?
Yeah, our margin that we're going to take will be between 5% and 15% percent per metric ton. And if you look at the average sale per ton, it's in excess of $400. It's a sort of traditional base. We're going to do very good deals for Comesa. We're going to do deals that are going to be sustainable. We want to take part in not just the first 3 years of the contract, we want to have a 10-year agreement with them. We've got the first mover advantage, so we've got an opportunity here to really get our hands around this market and to develop something that not just provides value and growth for the shareholder, but also security and sustainability for the farmer in Africa as well.
Yeah, so do you know what? I was trying to look at the figures, for example, and even on Twitter, people are trying to knock around the figures and see where this puts you. And even on I've diluted these figures down to like times 500,000 by $300. That's 150 million. Okay, 5% of this is $7.5 million, which is about, right about $5 million a year. So working on a 10% operating margin, 500,000. So that puts you at the moment without any other assets on a PE. Of five, less than five. That's quite good, isn't it? And also, you've got the assets there at Lactinga, and you've still got money from the placing, I assume. So, at the moment, you seem like a good value play, don't you?
I'm really glad you did the math. Some people have done the math yet. It'll take a bit of time. Describing a business like this at the moment has been a bit like sort of describing an elephant to somebody who can only see the tail. You're trying to tell them, you know, that this is a very big beast indeed, and they're only seeing this slightly sort of whippy kind of snaky kind of thing. And you say, well, no, that's just the tail. There's a whole elephant attached to this. And the elephant is, you know, the Kemesa market. And, you know, Lakdinga is a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity. As I said, it sits in the Congo Brazza area, which I think will turn into. And I know that Dangote, the richest man in Africa, is already all over Brazzaville, looking for opportunities in the region, as are the Chinese. It is going to be phenomenal there. But the point being that there are also, at this stage of the cycle, incredible industrial plant assets that will be able to complement this story, this vertical story, right now in South Africa, right now in Kenya that we're looking at. And going forward, we hope to create, you know, a mini vertical story that will be very attractive to other people who are coming into the sector, but also will be able to sustain itself on its own.
Yeah, and so when is, I mean, the revenue, when does this start coming in from this deal?
Well, you know, you've always got to say to people, this is Africa, right?
Always
put in your precursor there straight away. But I wouldn't do this deal unless I'd looked at the potential contracts that already existed and have taken 7 years for Kemesa to put together, that exist with governments, exist with government bodies, parasitals, cooperatives, corporations, NGOs, individual farming groups. You know, and they are extraordinary, the work that's been put in by them. And we're very, 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 very pleased to be their partners in this, which is a landmark proposition. In terms of where I see it going in the short term, I really hope to sign a contract and have the deal at least begun within the next 60 days on the 50,000 tonnes.
Nice. So are you quite excited, Chris, at the moment?
Yeah. I mean, it's taken some time to put it together. And like you said, I've been a bit submerged for a bit, backwards and forwards in Africa. You know, when you've got news as big as this, there's nothing you can do in half measures. You've got to just tell it the way it is when it's done. So I'm super excited. I'm super excited about what we're going to be doing in the future. No one's ever built a vertical from the ground, the minerals, all the way to the client at the end, the customer, in any commodity in West Africa that I can think of in this way. And it's really going to meet in some huge trends. So in a way, we've sort of sidestepped the resource malaise in terms of investment, etc. And we've walked ourselves into the beautiful green fields of the agriculture growth story, the African growth story. And, you know, we're taking our investors and our shareholders with us.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Looking at the share price today, up now over 20%, I'd say that people are quite excited about this. And this is, let's be honest, this is news that doesn't really involve your main, what everyone thought you stood for, your main asset there. It doesn't really involve that. It's like, this is, you know, separate to and an additional to that asset, which is excellent, isn't it?
Well, this is it. I think, you know, you have a single asset in a company these days. It doesn't give you total security. When you go and put a few more legs on it, you've got something you can sit on a bit more easily. And that's what I've tried to do here. And that's obviously the aim of our game. You know, in terms of the share price at 0.31 or whatever it was this morning, it's now up 20%. You know, this is a company that listed at far in excess of that. And at one point hit 9p. And that was before it had the holes drilled in Lakdinga. It was before that this story was on the table. So in terms of where the share price can go, you know, it's a market that's going to make the decision. But you know what? It's going to have to base it on realities pretty soon.
Yeah, well, Chris, nice to talk to you. And listen, I don't mind if you stay quiet for, 6 months. As long as you come up with the good news like this every 6 months, that's fine.
Brilliant, Justin. You're a pleasure to talk to. Catch up with you again soon.
Speak soon. Thanks, Chris. Cheers, fella. Bye-bye.
All the best. Cheerio. Bye.
It's time for the micro-macro news. Here's the macro news. The pace of increase in UK house prices accelerated in July, rising by 3.5% compared with a year earlier, according to Nationwide. The Building Society said that the annual change picked up from 3.3% a month earlier. Property values rose by 0.4% in July compared with June, taking the cost of the average home to how much do you think? Average home, how much do you think? Do you know what? You are spot on. That's right, £195,621. Perfect. Demand for housing remained encouraging, the report said, but supply strength was unclear. Growth in Britain's construction industry slowed unexpectedly into July, hurt by a loss of momentum in house building and civil engineering, according to a survey published on today. Isn't this in complete contrast to the thing I've just read out? That highlight the economy's reliance on the services sector. Yeah, so the monthly UK construction PMI fell to 57.1 after hitting a four-month high of 58.1 in June, confounding a Reuters poll estimate of a rise to 58.4. So it's now at 57.1, still way above that 50 mark, which shows growth. And finally, on the macro news, Greek bank shares have fallen sharply for a second day in Athens, but non-financial firms have fared better. The Athens General Index opened down about 4% before recovering to be 1.4% lower. On Monday, it reopened after 5 weeks, the share index had dropped 16%. So the first day in 5 weeks have been trading. Major banks were close to the maximum 30% declines they are allowed in one day, a limit that was hit on Monday. Banks account for about 20% of the Athens index. And joining me on the podcast is the Duchess of the Technical Analysis, the chart. It's Nicola Duke. You all right, Nick?
Hello, Justin. Very good, thanks.
Cool. Well, do you know what? Let's get on. It's quite a busy show today. We've got two guests on, and you doing the charts, and also a CEO. So let's start off first with the chart of the company, or the CEO I'm chatting to. That's African Potash, AFPO. Now, it's been no news in this company for a while, and as I said, they're in Africa. They've got a project, an asset in Lactinga in the Congo. But what do you see on this chart, Nick?
Well, on this chart, I had 0.224 in big, you know, sort of, or 0.22 as major support. Like, you could just buy it blind off that level. But we seem to be double bottoming, and you've got to pay attention to the price action because it looks like we've got major, you know, we've found really good support ahead of that level at about 0.3. And so, yeah, I like the double bottoming pattern. I like the price action today. I like the big jump higher. I like the big jump for the first time in ages above the 20 and the 50 moving averages.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, this looks good to me.
Cool. And can you see any kind of target price here, any upside price? What do you think? Anything? Because, I mean, they have released a bit of good news today. And for a while, there's been no news, but the news out today is quite good. It's about a deal they struck with the common market of Eastern South Africa to be an agent, basically, not only for their own asset potash, but also take a commission on other people supplying the market with potash. So it's quite a good deal, and like I said, it's been grinding down, but they did do a placing at 0.3, so that would suggest a nice little support there. So can you see any target price or not?
Yeah, you know, to confirm the reversal and to confirm the bottoms in, we've really got to take out the May highs, and so, you know, we've really got to clear sort of 0.58, 0.57 is the resistance. So a daily close above 0.58, I think you can feel quite safe about this one. Or let me just zoom it out and I'll give you, you know, it should make at least 0.84, but I think bigger picture that we're going to look at 150. 1.5.
Cool. All right. Marvellous. All right. Well, let's go to the next one, which is Telecom Plus. Frank wanted to look at this. He said, can you look at this? I also own this, and I quite liked them. Do you know what? I had a lucky buy in this a while back. I mean, they did have a not really a profit warning, but there's in the utilities, and the supply companies with a cheaper utility, alternative utility. And they had this £11 million that are write off because it had been accruing over the last 4 years. So apart from that, their revenues are up, their profits are up, apart from this one-off figure. So it wasn't really a profits warning, even though it knocked their profits. So I bought them at 780 because I noticed a lot of the directors were buying at £8 and it went a bit lower, and I thought, right, I'm going to buy below the directors.
I remember you buying that, and I remember us talking about it.
Yeah.
So well done. I have to say that it's at resistance now, so 1.2.
Yeah, so 12 quid, yeah.
Yeah, October 13 lows, and it's sort of November, December 2014, monthly closing prices. So there is a bit of resistance here. I don't think you can just sort of, when we looked at it before, we had those levels as to take profit. I think it needs to come back to support now, which would be about 1,020. So 1,020.
£10.25.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? This is my email to Frank after email. I said, thanks for the email, Frank. Telecom Press. Goodbye, by the way. At the moment, I don't fancy selling them, especially as the yield on the dividend is 3.5%. Having said that, there looks like there may be some resistance at £12. That's what I put, but I didn't put where they come back to. So you reckon they'll come back to that?
They'll come back to the. Yeah. When we looked at it before, we had that level 1020 as our first resistance, and it still is.
Yeah,
but buy it there, because this one does have potential neck much higher.
Yeah.
The next upside target is 1.5.
Oh, 15 quid. That's good. Yeah, well, that's nice. I think I will pull this on a buy some more of this on a pullback, definitely, because they're a good company.
Yeah, put the 20, like a 20 moving average, 20 exponential moving average.
Yeah,
buy it when it comes back to that moving average.
Okay.
Or the two, now it might not come back that far.
200-day moving average, yeah?
Is it 1.13?
Yeah, oh, I've got it here.
1130.
Yeah, I got the 20-day moving average at £11.10, and the 200-day moving average at £10.67, which seems like...
I'm looking at my weekly. That was my mistake.
Okay.
A weekly one is even more powerful. Okay, yeah. So the daily, 200-day moving average is at £1,070.
Yeah,
£10.70.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, buy it when it comes back and get support off that, because it should stay above that if it's going to keep trending higher.
Cool. Okay, let's look at the last one here. There's another request. Who sent this? I also own this as well, but can you have a look at this? So let's have a look. Utility-wise, from Malcolm, said, could you have a look? Because they've come back. He said, I've done well, but they've come back about 20% since June highs. Where are they going? So this is the same kind of company as Telecom Plus, essentially, in that area, doing the same kind of thing. But they're a smaller company, but their fundamentals are cracking, and their forecasted earnings and earnings per share growth are cracking, double digits. But they've had a rough ride, £2 support level back in back in March. They rocketed up to £2.80, and they've come back now, but £2.30 at the moment. So where are they going? Where's the support here? Today they had a nice bounce. What do you reckon?
They did. Well, everybody I know in the city buys this as a hedge, like, because it does well when other stocks are not doing well. Mm. And all the other stocks have done really well, apart from commodity stuff. So
yeah.
I think if we get a bit of a sell-off, that this is quite a good, safe place to be.
Yeah.
And I do like the support at 220 in this one, which you can see was support back in February, March 2014, and was support again in... mid-October. So that level, that spike level, that should be good support, 220. So it looks like it's trying to hold here at 222.
Well, I put an order in today, yesterday actually, for 220 on this, and I thought it was going to go down to that, but it bounced up, being like I said, today, and it where'd it go? So it's up like 4%, over 4% today, so it didn't quite make it down to that 220, so it does seem like there's some kind of support there, doesn't there, really?
It does, yeah, and it does, this stock does do well when others are not doing so well, so it's not a bad summer buy either.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you do you know what? I got to say...
I will send you some charts.
Yes. No, not only that. You were spot on with, I think, the Royal Dutch Shell. You called when it was looked like it was going down. It was quite a bearish day and looked like to becoming more bearish. But you said, no, I think if it bounced here, we're fine. And there was a gap up on Royal Dutch Shell. And they've sort of held above that 20-day moving average. They haven't gone down to those previous lows.
No, I'm still looking for oil to find a bottom. I have bought this week, for the start of the month, I have bought copper and gold. I think we could see a bit of a commodity bounce, and I still like oil too. So, you know, it's just a bounce. Clearly, we're in a downtrend.
Yeah.
But I think, it could could get its toe in. So hang on that one.
Let's hope it's gets his toe in there. That's it, the oily toe. Oily toe. Marvellous, Nick. Well, listen, if you want to follow Nick on Twitter, it's at Nick Trades, and I'll put a link at sharepickers.com, and Nick will send me over some of these charts. As always, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much, Nicola.
Thanks. Bye.
Here's the micro news. Here's the good news. Direct Line Insurance Group reported a rise in pre-tax profit for the first half and a largely unchanged gross written premium. As I said, underlying trends remain broadly in line with prior expectations. The UK government has sold 630 million Royal Bank of Scotland shares for 2.08 billion, the HM Treasury confirmed today. T. Clark reported an increase in first half pre-tax profit and revenue and a strengthening of its order book. Meggitt posted a 6% rise in underlying first half pre-tax profit as stronger than expected military revenue offset challenging conditions in the energy market and announced two contract wins. Digital video distribution company Rightster Group, which I know Woodford, Star Fund manager, has a quite a big stake in, or has a stake in anyway, has clinched a deal with US-based consumer goods giant Procter & Gamble in the Asia-Pacific region. By the way, you can see all the script at sharepickers.com. If you just want to check out any of these companies I mentioned, just go to sharepickers.com. Takeaway ordering app Just Eat posted a 63% increase in first-half pre-tax profit as active users rose and said it now expects revenue for the year to be higher than previously thought. That's good news if you're a shareholder there. Travis Perkins posted a robust first. You know, they're worth checking out, Just Eat. J-E dot is the ticker. Let me just look at the share price while that's loading there. Can you bear with me? Please hold, caller. Thank you very much. Caller, please hold. Still holding, caller? Thank you. Be with you in a second. J-E, let's have a look. Let's look at the moment. Sorry, this is almost real time. It's pre-recorded, but it's real time. So they're down to 0.7% today. Wow, that's unusual. Maybe some of the figures weren't as suggested or expected. Travis Perkins posted robust first-half results in the face of continued wobbles in the plumbing and heating market, with sales growth accelerating in the second quarter and the dividend lifted by 20%. Nice. Here's the bad news. Standard Life delivered a better dividend than was expected, but shares were down as the company revealed several one-off charges. I beg your pardon. LSL Property posted an 8% drop, that's 80% drop in profit before tax. Fresnillo blamed lower precious metal prices for a drop in first half profit as it reduces capital expenditure forecast for the year. Legacy contracts forced construction firm Morgan Sindall into the red for the first half of the year. RoadTalk posted a decline in interim revenue and a pre-tax profit in the wake of a slump in oil and gas prices. Immuno Diagnostic Systems, easy for me to say, yeah, that's Immuno Diagnostic Systems, had suffered a difficult start to the year with revenues in decline as the laboratory testing provider hopes of an improvement in its markets remained elusive. And here are the broker forecasts. Here's the upgrades. Numis has upgraded shoulders to buy price target £29.51. Espirito Santo Execution Noble has initiated coverage of Halfords Group with a buy rating price target £6.20. Here are the downgrades. Numis has downgraded Morgan Sindall to add price target £8.90. And Goldman Sachs has downgraded Coca-Cola HBC to sell price target £10.80. That's it for the podcast, but before I go, I gotta say this podcast is dedicated to Gary Benneter, who gives me 5-star review on iTunes, and he says, different spin on shares, worth a listen, succinct to the point, but I really appreciate it. Muchos apreciados, Gary, for the iTunes review there. And if you do listen to the podcast and get any value whatsoever out of it, I know it's hard, but if you could spare a couple of minutes by going to iTunes and giving me a 5-star review there, then I would be highly appreciated. And write anything at all. What do you know? What shares do you own? What do you do when you're listening to the podcast? Anything at all? Anything in the way of compliments? I will read out and dedicate a podcast to you. All right. So that's iTunes 5-star rating and a nice little review if you could. Don't forget, please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation in the podcast, as it's only just opinion and it's not your opinion and it's your money. So please do your own research. Thanks for listening. Speak tomorrow.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that if you are 20 years old now, there's a chance your great-grandparents might have met thanks to computer dating?
Did you know that under their main tongue, lemurs have another tongue?
I did know that because you and I, Andy, and I'm James, are hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish, a British podcast all about facts.
That's right. We have two other co-hosts, Dan and Anna. Every week, we tell you a selection of the most amazing, hilarious, bizarre, wonderful information that you've never heard before. It happens every week, and it's called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what's all this about computer dating?